Thank you, Jesus. I don't mind. And I hope after we share this word, you don't mind either. Because I want to talk about wait versus worry. Wait versus worry. And from a sports analogy of versus, that means there's some competition going on. Whether it's a, whatever sporting event, it's a versus, one team versus the other. And both want to win, but only one will win. So walk with me and pray with me as we go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I believe David, under the inspiration of the Lord, is the one that wrote this psalm. And it's interesting that these psalms were or can be put to music, if you will. And we pray that God would continue to give us the creativity and inspiration to put some of his wonderful word to music, amen, as he has done in the past. So here we are in Psalm 27, verse number 13 to begin with. I have the Amplified Classic. I'm hearing some music somewhere. I don't need background music right now. Amen. That ain't my theme music. But here we go. Psalm 27, beginning at verse number 13. Amplified Classic says, What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? In verse 14 says, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. Lord, you got to help us here this morning. In this passage of scripture, the word wait means to bind together, perhaps by twisting, that is to collect. Figuratively, it means to expect, to gather together, to look patiently. It also means to tarry. That's all tarry means is wait, to wait for and upon. So here David is reminiscing and encouraging himself, I believe, and those who would read this psalm. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? A lot of things happened in the life of David. He was confronted with many obstacles and many challenges, and yet he had his trust and his confidence was in the Lord God. So he can say from a personal experience in verse 14, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. A question in our minds or in our thoughts, what are we waiting for? What are we hoping for? What are we expecting from the Lord, from God? Are we still holding on to our hope? Are we still holding on to our expectation? Are we still trusting in what God has declared and what God has promised? Latter part of verse 14 continues, be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout. Another word for stout is strong and enduring. So evidently, David is speaking from experience again. He says, yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. He can recall his personal life's journey, how things looked like they wasn't going to work out for him. He can recall how he was up against some heavy obstacles and heavy challenges, but through it all, he did not lose his hope. Through it all, he did not lose his confidence. Yes, he was in seasons where he knew that it was, if there was going to be any deliverance at all, it was going to come from God and God alone. But through his experience, through his life experience, and through his faithful writing and capturing his experience in the scriptures, we can take courage today that know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the psalm, the living word of God, yet speaks to us this morning, tells us to wait. It tells us to hope. It tells us to encourage, but it doesn't tell us to worry. And oftentimes, in our waiting, we get worried. Oftentimes, in our waiting, watch now, we get weighed down in our waiting. We get weighed down with doubt because things don't happen as quick or as smooth as we expect them to happen. Sometimes we get frustrated with waiting. Sometimes we get impatient with our waiting. And sometimes we go ahead of God. Bad place to be. And oftentimes, if we go ahead of God, we mess up things that God has to fix up and then fix the problem, what was the original problem. We add sometimes to the problem because we just couldn't wait. We just couldn't wait. Wait. Lord, help us to wait. Don't worry. You're going to get a part in this message. Don't worry. Your part's coming. Don't worry. Some of our part's already here. Amen. You know, I was looking at this, and we're going to read something here. You know, often in looking at the Bible, especially in the life of Jesus Christ, when things are repeated, we're supposed to take special note. Remember Jesus talking to Nicodemus? He said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you. You know, so that means, you know, take notice of this. I found something here that's stated three times. Psalm 42. Verse number 5. We're still dealing with wait versus worry. Who's going to win? Wait versus worry. Psalm 42, verse 5. The psalmist says here in the Amplified Classic, why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? So there's some questions. Something's going on. You know, sometimes you got to talk to yourself. So the psalmist is saying, why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? What's going on in me? Why are you complaining? Why are you mumbling? And why are you, what's going on? The verse continues, hope in God. You see that? And wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, my help and my God. So that was one. Can I find another one? Okay, verse number 11, same chapter. You ain't got to go far. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. You see that? That sounds like the same thing. Dare we find another? Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my sad countenance. Get that frown off your face. He's talking to himself. And my God. So you see, there's three times that he's asking himself the same question. This was long before Michael Jackson came out with Man in the Mirror. But this is, he's asking himself, why are you cast down? Why are you moaning? Why are you moaning over me? You might not be complaining to somebody else, but you're having your own private pity party. Hope in God. See, sometimes you got to talk to yourself like you got to talk some sense into your own self. Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him. I'm going to praise him. You know, I'm going to get myself together while I'm waiting. I'm going to throw my little tantrum, but then I'm going to ask myself, why in the world are you throwing your tantrum? I'm going to have my list of complaints, but then when I come to my senses and I have a moment of spiritual clarity, I'm going to ask myself, I don't need you to talk to me. I'm going to talk to myself. I'm going to ask myself, what in the world is wrong with you today? I'm gonna have to wait a minute. I'm gonna have to go back and look at my 1986 playlist and pull up Count Your Blessings, and see what God has done. And then I need to shake myself out of my stupor, if you will. I'm not talking about you. You hear me say myself, right? Good. All right. So just come along with me. Then I got to tell myself, you better hope in God. And you need to wait patiently for him. And while you waiting, stop moaning. I'm talking to myself. Y'all just hear. While you're waiting, stop moaning. Stop complaining. And matter of fact, lift up a prayer. Well, I really don't feel like praising because it hasn't happened like I want it to happen. And I'm still dealing with this stuff. And I wish this stuff. But I will yet praise. I wonder, is there anybody that has a yet praise? God hasn't done this yet, but I'm still going to praise. Lord, help me. It looks good and it sounds good reading off the paper, but in my inner self, ask yourself, do you have a yet praise? This ain't the part you look at your neighbor, but there's a part coming. But ask yourself, is there a yet praise in you? Is there yet a praise in you? While you are waiting, while we are waiting, or is worry backing you into a corner? It's wait versus worry. And when we know what God has said, when we watch, not only know what God has said, but when we believe what God has said. See, knowing and believing is a little different. When we know, well, I know what it said, but sit that butt down. Lord, help me. I keep asking y'all to pray for my mind. I know what it says, but no, we need to sit that butt down. Are y'all praying? Thank you. I need it. Hope in God and wait. I'm expecting God to come through. Now, I ain't God. I don't know how he's going to come through, and I'm not. That's not in my realm of responsibility, but I'm expecting God to come through. and I am relinquishing myself of the stress and anguish on my feeble brain to figure out how is God going to come through. I'm just going to praise him until he comes through. I'm just going to praise him until God. Listen, this problem is too complicated for me to try to figure out anyway. So here's what did you tell me to do, God? You told me to hope in you. Okay, my hope is built in God. So I'm a hoping God, and I'm going to expectantly wait for God, and I'm going to get my countenance together. I'm going to change my frown, and I'm going to get off this mean mug off of my face, and I'm going to stop mad dogging people when they ask me how you doing. Lord, God is the help of my sad countenance. Let me see if I can see some sad countenances out there. Oh, there you are. Oh, I'm starting to see some teeth now. Because God is the help of our sad countenance. He's our help. So I will yet praise him. He is not only the help of my sad countenance, he's my God. All right, I got to move to another scripture now in this battle between wait versus worry. Who's winning? Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Verse number 30. It says, even the youths, Amplified Classic, shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. Look at verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Who's winning? But they that wait upon the Lord, that wait again, hopefully expecting God, anticipating God to come through like only God can. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who's winning? Wait or worry. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Is there a praise while we're waiting? Some has said that the church is like a hospital. Have you heard that term before? The church is like a hospital. I have a white jacket that our health professionals wear, and I started to wear it, but I'm not going to wear it. But just bear with us for a moment. The church is like a hospital. And in the hospital, there are many sections and departments and rooms. There's an emergency room. There's an examination room. There is a operating room. And there is a recovery room. And even in the OBGYN section, there are delivery rooms. Now you can ask your neighbor, what room are you in? Because we're waiting. We're waiting. But what room are you in? Some of us, somebody came here and you in the emergency room. You need God to work right now. You need God. If God don't do something, you're in an emergency room. And some of you are just in the waiting room. And sometimes when you go into the emergency room, you got to wait a long time. Lord. And sometimes we lose our composure in the waiting room. Because first of all, we don't like everybody. We don't like how everybody look that's in there. So we lose, some of us lose our dignity and composure, in the waiting room. Because we're wondering when we're going to get to the examination room, because we've been waiting for a long time. But can I dare say, while you're in the waiting room, you already have begun an examination. And then some are in the operating room, where sometimes God has to lay you out on the table, so to speak, and this is where we say, God, search me, search my heart, know my thoughts, see if there be some wicked way in me, cleanse me from sin and lead me in the way everlasting. And then there are, I know there's some that's in the delivery room. There's some that have came this morning. You're in the delivery room. You ain't came forth yet. You're in the delivery room, and you're wondering if God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You're in the delivery room. You're there, and you've taken all the necessary steps, and they got you to the place because you felt the pains, and okay, it's time to go. And so you hear the preaching of the gospel, and you know that the Lord is soon to come, and so you're at the point of delivery. Help me out, mothers. But now you got to do some pushing. You got to push your way past all the distractions. You got to push your way past all the doubt. You got to push your way past all the fear. Listen, oh Lord, help me. God wants you to come through. You might have to. God just wants you born. He wants you born of the Spirit. So you're in the delivery room, and you need to hold on to God. You need to hold on to the horns of the altar and press your way and say, God, I ain't giving up. I'm not giving up. I want to hear a sound of a cry. Jesus said, the wind blows where it listeth. You can't tell where it's going or where it's coming, but you hear the sound. Somebody is in the delivery room this morning. Wait a minute, did not we read in those Psalms, he said, even while we're waiting, we will yet praise. This is how you push in the delivery room. You got to offer up a praise to God. This is how you push in the spiritual delivery room when you're waiting to receive the Holy Ghost. Because those of us who have already received the Holy Ghost, we're in the waiting room. Right? We're in the waiting room and we're waiting, because sometimes take the mother into the delivery room, and they used to have the dads back in the day have to wait in the waiting room. Is that right? Or am I on the wrong track? Okay, good. I'm on the right track. And then sometimes there would be a pacing in the waiting room. You can see all the expecting fathers, they'd be like, and they're looking for hope, and they're looking for encouragement. Let's flip this over now to the spiritual. Those of us who have already received the Holy Ghost, we're anxious for new babies to be born of the Spirit. What we're going to do, we're going to praise in the waiting room. We're going to praise in the waiting room. And while we're praising in the waiting room, then the sounds of praise that are in the waiting room will switch over and echo into the delivery room. So then when the folks that are in the delivery room hear the folks that are in the waiting room and they hear them praising, then they get the idea, this is what I got to do. I got to praise. Wait a minute. Did not the Bible say that God dwells in the midst of praise? So while we're praising, wait a minute, I ain't forgot about the ones in the emergency room. You still got to praise in the emergency room. And then you got to praise in the waiting room. And you sure enough got to praise
in the delivery room. And those of us that God has brought through some stuff, we're in the recovery room. And we sure enough got a praise in the recovery room when God done got us up out of the muck and the mire. When God just got us up out of the kingdom of darkness. When God done set us on the path of righteousness. We're in the recovery room. God has filled us with the Holy Ghost. God has healed and is healing us in the recovery room. So the folks in the recovery room sure enough should know how to praise. So let the recovery room start praising. Let the waiting room start praising. Let the emergency room start praising it. And all of a sudden, the hospital is filled with praise. That sounds like the upper room on the day of Pentecost. They were all in one place and one accord. And suddenly, what were they doing? They were praising God. They were waiting on God. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind filled the whole house. God filled the delivery room. Listen, I got some Bible, then I got to let you go. I got some more Bible. Ask your neighbor, what room are you in? Whatever room you in, there ought to be a praise in that room. There ought to be a praise in that room. God, you got to help me preach this. There ought to be a praise in that room. There ought to be a praise in whatever room that you're in. I got to run to the historical book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, 16th chapter. What room are you in? What room? You know, they called me. My brother got moved to the hospital last night. He was in his nursing home and his hemoglobin was low. So they called me. And they said, the other day they called me and they said, we want to take him to one hospital, but they don't have a room for him. So we have to wait until we find a room. So last night they called and they said, okay, he's on his way to a different hospital. There's a room for him available. So Lord willing, when we leave, we're going to visit my brother that's in a hospital. But listen, what I'm trying to say is that whatever room that you're in, God is present in that room. He's present there. So Acts, there was a couple of brothers who were in an emergency room, and they needed some immediate attention. And the brothers go by the name of Paul and Silas. And in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So it does not matter what room that you're in. If you're in the emergency room, like Paul and Silas was, if you will, they were locked up in a prison, but they did not let the prison prevent them from praying. They did not let their prison or their confinement prevent them from praising God. They made up their mind. Yes, we're in an uncomfortable position, but that is not going to prohibit us from giving praise to God. So they made up their mind while we're in this room, while we're locked up, while we're in bonds and in chains, we still going to pray. We're not going to forget the foundations of our faith. Prayer and praise is a part of who we are. So it does not matter their geographical location. They did what they know to do. We in here locked up, but our hope is still in God. You might be locked up or feel like you're locked up in an emergency situation, but don't you forget your prayer and don't you forget your praise. They were praising him and it was dark. Midnight seemed like it's a dark time. Looked like ain't nothing gonna work out. But the Bible said they were praising God and singing and the prisoners heard them. Sometimes you can encourage somebody else when you're in your darkest night situation. If they know that you're going through, yet they see you praising God like you're free already, yet they hear you praising God like you're free already. Then they look and say, wait a minute, I know they're in bad shape, but if they can praise God while they're in the shape that they're in, surely I can praise God too. So while they were in that prison, the Bible said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. What room are you in? Change your prison room into a praise room and watch what God will do. I suggest to you, I spiritually dare you to lift up a praise in the midst of your circumstance and watch God. Here comes God, God who created the heaven and the earth, God who can speak to the wind, spoke to the earth, and said, I got two men that are bound and imprisoned. The earth, I need you to rumble. Listen, that ain't got nothing on Muhammad Ali. Talk about a rumble. God said, earth, I need you to shake them loose. And God allowed the earthquake to shake that place. And everybody got delivered. God is the only God that can change an emergency room into a delivery room. And it don't take God long. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I got some word for those of you that are in the waiting room. You've already been delivered. You've already been baptized. But you got some brothers and some sisters that are going through some spiritual warfare. You got some loved ones that have yet to come through. There was a time when the Apostle Peter was in prison and the church were praying for him. Peter was locked up. He was in solitary, if you will. I gotta get the scripture. It's in Acts. I believe it's the 12th chapter. Let me find it. Glory. Hallelujah. Here we are in Acts, the 12th chapter and verse number 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but fervent prayer for him was persistently made to God by the church, by the assembly. So listen, while you're in the waiting room, don't you dare sit there complacent. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm on my way to heaven. That's good, but you got work to do while you're still down here on earth. You got to pray for the deliverance of those that need to be delivered. So while Peter was in prison, glory to God, the church was praying. They were praying. Peter, he was locked up. Yes, he was. He was locked up, and he had chains all about him. Not only did he have chains all about him, he had guards on both sides. Oh, Lord, they wanted to make sure he never got out of there. That's what the devil wants to do for some of us. He don't want us walking free, but I hear the Bible said, whom the Son has set free, you're free indeed. So you need to stand fast in the liberty where God has made you free. And don't you dare be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I got to go back and get that 12th chapter of the book of Acts. So here we see Peter is in jail. And the Bible said the very night before Herod was about to bring him forth, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, fastened with two chains before the rapper, fastened with two chains. Glory. I pray for my mind, y'all. Before Herod was going to bring him forth, fastened with two chains and sentries, that's guards, before the door were guarding the prison. Listen, they didn't want Peter coming out of there. Verse 7, Acts 12, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared standing beside him, and a light shone in the place where he was. And the angel gently, he didn't smack him, the angel gently smote Peter on the side, awaking him. Listen, sometimes when you get locked up, your physical body, you just gotta rest. You're weary. We did read, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So the angel smote him gently on the side and awakened him and said, get up quickly. Glory, hallelujah. And the chains fell off his hands. Glory, hallelujah. You might be in a locked up situation, but God has the power to dispatch an angel to wake you up and keep those who thought they were guarding you, keep them fast asleep. I marvel at the might and the excellency of God to send an angel there and just tap him. You know, and get up quickly. And the Bible said, God is trying to tell somebody, get up out of that mess quick, fast, and in a hurry. You ain't got much time to tarry here. So God allowed the angel, glory to God, to come and visit Peter. Tapped him, said, get up. Chains fell off. God, will you dispatch an angel and set somebody free from their chains this morning? Chains of addiction, chains of sin, chains of wickedness and lasciviousness. God, loose the chains. Wait a minute. Y'all taught me the song. Jesus breaks every fetter and he sets me free. Why do y'all teach me these songs if they weren't real? I'm believing that God can deliver somebody right here, right now. Wait versus worry. I ain't gonna worry about my past, but I'm gonna look, wait a minute, to the hills from which cometh my help, knowing that my help, it comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's not all. If you read further down, they got past the guards, and when they got to the big old iron gate of the city, oh glory, when God delivers you, he will deliver you in style. They didn't have no key to the gate, but the gate open up. Lift up your head, oh ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Glory. The King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty. I can imagine that that angel was a theophany of Jesus himself walking through that city, and the gates had to open up. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Where do you get that from? Because Peter was the one that got the revelation when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because you didn't get this from man, but you got it from God. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So anytime he walked to that gate, that might have been a gate of hell, and it could not prevail, he didn't have to touch it. When the gate saw who was walking toward the gate, it was none other than God in a manifestation, walking, wait a minute, with his child, with his servant, the gate open. When God gets ready to deliver you, the gates of hell can't stop your deliverance. So if I was you in the emergency room, in the waiting room, in the receiving room, in the recovery room, whatever room you in, I would suggest that you lift up a praise right now and watch. No, wait a minute. We serve a God that can open doors that no man can close. So lift up your praise. If anything, our glory is coming in your way, lift up a praise. Praise will make the way. Praise will open doors. Praise will clear a path. Praise will make sure you get to your destination. Is there a praise in this room? Is there a praise in this room? Is there a praise in that room? Is there a praise in that room? Deliverance might be dependent on your prayer. Somebody's breakthrough might be contingent on your praise. I hear God say that praise is comely for the upright. And the upright folks in here, you ought to lift up a praise of glory. Hallelujah. Praise. God wants to pray. Somebody needs a breakthrough. Somebody needs deliverance. Is there a praise in the house? While we're waiting, God, we don't praise you. While we're waiting, while we're hoping, while we are anticipating and expecting, we will praise. We will praise. We will praise. Our praise is powerful. Collectively, our praise is powerful. chains can fall off if we collectively praise. Captives can be set free when we collectively praise. Bodies can be healed when we collectively praise. Worry has lost. Worry has been knocked out. What knocked out worry? While we were waiting, we remembered how to praise. While we were waiting, we remembered what God has done. While we were waiting, we remember God's unblemished track record. I got some hashtags for you. Some WWWs. Here's the first W. Why would we worry? You need to hashtag that. Why would we worry? Glory. Hallelujah. You need to hashtag. Can I give you another hashtag? While we wait, we will worship. Is that enough W's for you? While we wait, we will worship. While we wait, we will worship. Why would we worry? While we wait, we will worship. I got to go. But worry has been defeated. No more sad countenance. No more nobody knows what I'm going through. God knows. And we know too. We're your brothers and we're your sisters. And we're going to worship with you while we wait. You know, an amazing thing. If you read that encounter, Peter got delivered. He knocked on the door. They didn't know it was him. They couldn't believe it. Wait a minute, weren't you in jail? Yeah, but y'all prayed. So when you see your brother and your sister that you've been praying for to come back to the house, when you see them come back to the house, don't be surprised. Don't be an interrogator or an investigator. Just be a praiser. Say, we knew you were coming back. We knew you were coming. Why? Because while we were waiting on you, we were worshiping. While we were waiting on you, we were praising. While we were waiting on you, we were praying. And look what God has done. I got to go. Will y'all invite me back next week? I got to go. But worship, I'm sorry, wait versus worry. We know who won. We already know. Worry got knocked out. Faster than Mike Spinks knocked somebody out in the first round. Worry got knocked out. Because our God is undefeated. All right, I got to let you go. I wish I could hire some.